With the Capital One Quicksilver Card, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. It's easy. That's just the way I like it.
Oh, that's the way, I like it, That's the way, I like it,
Woo! The Quicksilver Card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
That's the way,
Capital One
like
Bank,
it,
USANA.
The Big Papa Online Network on Blog Talk Radio is on the air.
Hey, Pete, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Yeah, I was worried that there might be a little confusion out there because just last night we finally also switched to daylight saving time.
Yeah, I know we made it worse about a decade back when they changed it because we had a certain daylight savings time, and then our president at the time decided in his sage wisdom to change daylight savings time on everybody. So everybody screwed up.
Yeah. I hate this change. Yeah, I don't think it makes any sense at all. But it's European law, and so there's basically nothing you can do about it.
Exactly. You can't fight City Hall. So how's the weather over there in Germany, or should I say Atlantis?
Oh, weather's fine in Atlantis, actually. I don't know. Yeah, the sun has been out all day, and we had a beautiful day out having some outdoor breakfast and stuff like this. So.
Oh, nice.
It's really springtime here.
Nice. We're supposed to be springtime, but for some reason we're still dealing with winter weather. I don't get that one. So maybe we have gone under the sea and didn't know it.
Well, I keep my fingers crossed for you guys that you finally get rid of the snow. I mean, you saw a lot of it this year, no?
Oh, it's ridiculous. I mean, we couldn't even get our way out because as soon as we got through one snow and shoveled ourselves, you know, more or less clean, then we got another one. And the plows weren't clean, the streets and cars were buried. It was ridiculous. It was like the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm wearing a Doctor Who shirt right now. It seems so appropriate for chatting with the guy behind Iron Savior, so I'm all set. So if you're ready, we can get rolling.
Oh, yeah, of course. I'm ready.
You're listening to Third Eye Cinema, your source for in-depth discussion of cult cinema and music. Tonight, we head down to the watery depths of Atlantis itself to speak of von Daniken, Herbert, and the secrets of the cosmos with the overlord of Iron Savior, Pete Seal, on the Big Pop Online Network, Blog Talk. Third Eye Cinema, your social music and film that matter, cult, underground, independent, and generally falling outside the mainstream corporate boardroom paint-by-numbers bullshit. Tonight, we take a trip into the worlds of sci-fi and fantasy, Atlantis, and the Chariots of the Gods. After sharing two bands and guitar duties with a man who's often cited as one of the founding fathers of the genre, he was present at the very dawn of the European power metal scene. Making the move behind the console into studio production work for over a decade, he reunited with Hanson in the late 90s to form a uniquely science fiction-oriented power metal act. Now a scene veteran with a good 20 years under his belt, this man is still producing some of the more melodic and memorable material of the style. Join us for a discussion with Atlantean mastermind Pete Seelk of Iron Savior, only here on Third Eye Cinema. But first, a blast of traditional metal from the new album Rise of the Hero. This is Fistraiser.
Driving hard, calling like a razor.
You're listening to Third Eye Cinema with our special guest tonight, Pete Silk of Iron Savior. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Third Eye Cinema. Enjoy the day.
Third Eye Cinema.
Right.
Okay. Hi, everybody. This is Lee Christine from Leaf Size, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema. Rock on. Okay?
Okay.
Hello, everybody. I'm Christine from Leaf Size, and you are listening to Third Eye Cinema. Rock on.
Hey there, this is Marcos from Mob Rules, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema. Enjoy it.
Hey, this is Zeep from the band Orden Ogan, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Hi, here's Matt Sinner of Primal Fear and Sinner, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Hey guys, this is Alex Byrod of Stun and Force, Voodoo Circle, Sinner, Primal Fear, and Rock Meets Classic, and you guys are listening to Third Eye Cinema. Wow.
You may have to cram most of them in there.
All right. Okay. You want to have an ad? Okay, let's... Hey, folks! You're listening to Third Eye Cinema, and I'm Fabian from The New Black. Keep on rocking.
That works.
Hello, everybody out there. This is Michael Kiske speaking. I'm singing with Unisonic, Plasma Dome, and other things. Bands. I think I'll do it again.
Okay.
Hi, everybody out there. This is Michael Kiske speaking, singing for Unisonic and Plasma Dome, and you are listening to Third Eye Cinema.
This is Mem from Exhumer. And you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Hey, this is James Rivera. You are listening to Third Eye Cinema. I am the King of Hell.
Hello, I'm Diego Valdez, singer from... Hello, I'm Diego Valdez, singer of... Hello, I'm Diego Valdez, singer of Hellcore, and you are listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Hi, this is Udo Dobson, singer of UDO, and you're listening to the show Third Eye Cinema.
Tonight, we're talking metal, and we have with us a man who was there at the very birth of the European power metal scene. After sharing two bands and guitar duties with a man who's often cited as one of the founding fathers of the genre, he moved into studio production work for over a decade before reuniting with his old partner to form a band with a very unique concept and approach. Now a scene veteran with a good 20 years under his belt, this man is still producing some of the more melodic and memorable material of the style and has a new well-received album titled Rise of the Hero in tow. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming guitarist, vocalist, and Atlantean mastermind, Pete Silk of Iron Savior. Pete, welcome to Third Eye Cinema.
Hey, how you doing, Gene? Everything's fine over here in Atlantis.
Glad to hear it. When you boil things down to the essentials, Iron Savior is notable for three main things: your longevity, the high profile of one of your former members, and a unique focus, each of which we'll get to in due course. But when it comes down to the music itself, it's really just kind of straight-ahead template power metal, which is a good thing. I'm certainly hearing some earlier Whitesnake in the keyboards on Thunder from the Mountains, and more than a dash of Accept and Iron Warrior, Dragon King, and perhaps even some traditional U.S.-style metal on Fistraiser. But for the most part, your sound is defined by a strong speed metal by way of power metal approach.
Well, of course, all I'm doing in the end is based on my experience I gathered when I was a young teen, you know, and that, of course, is the new wave of British heavy metal. And there's one particular song that I would like to point out here, which really started all this. I mean, it was Kai and me going to an AC/DC concert at the time, actually the last one with Bon Scott, and we saw Priest supporting them. And when they played Exciter, that was it for us. You know, we were freaking out totally. It was the fastest shit we ever heard, and we both were standing there and said, "Right on, this is the shit we want to do." So,
and that, if my memory's right, that's actually before Accepted Fast as a Shark, right? So that really was the first quote unquote speed metal kind of power metal song.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, actually, Kai, funnily, comes back now with Empire of the Undead, which was about the second song we ever wrote.
Really?
Yeah.
Took them all these years to get back to it.
Yeah.
So that brings us to our first point, which, of course, is your erstwhile band, my Kai Hansen, famed for his work with Helloween, Gamma Ray, and now Unisonic, as well, often alongside the great power metal vocalist Michael Kiske, who we had on the show a few months back. But your roots with Kai go back much further, so tell us a bit about that.
Well, actually, Kai and I started out when I think I was 11 or so.
Wow.
That's really a long time ago, and we kind of instantly felt that we were kind of like on the same vibes, and yeah, we started a band, actually with no drums, only two guitars and a bass, but that was good enough for us. And actually, we all already started to write own stuff. We were playing old classic tunes and shit like that, but of course we were already writing our entirely own music. And yeah, I mean, those are the bands, I think, Gentry, Second Hell, and later on Iron Fist. And we played a couple of stuff, which then later on was used on the early Helloween releases. So that was, for both of us, really, really important years, I'd say, looking back from now.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, after your school days and early bands you shared with Kai, he started up Helloween, and the rest is history there. But you sort of backed out of the industry after that, working more in the back end of studio production. So I imagine all that time working in production plays a strong part in the rather lush sound we get with Iron Savior.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, working in a studio up front for a couple of years, of course, gave me the skills and also the abilities to produce my own stuff, which is a good thing because it saves me a hell of a lot of money.
So do you actually still go into a studio proper and record analog, or is it all digital like the modern style?
Well, it's a good mix. I mean, of course, the basic platform is digital this
right.
time, you know, because we're all based here on Pro Tools, and that's a great thing for us because Pro Tools is my favorite platform. I started out with it, and I'm still doing it. But I really don't like amp modeling stuff, you know, plugins and shit like that. So for guitars, I really prefer the old school way, having amplifier, outboard equipment, a cabinet, and microphones.
That's what I was trying to get at, because, you know, you can hear that the sound is very modern, so I know you had to be doing digital, but, you know, when somebody works in production for that long, especially at the time period you were, like, you don't really give up that love for the analog sound.
Well, I mean, it's the analog sound, of course, is something that I really... I must say, in a way, I do miss it, but in a way, I also don't. Because for me, as a mixing engineer, there's always a great focus on having the material as crisp and clear as possible.
Right.
And, of course, digital offers a lot more possibilities to do so.
Oh, for sure. You're not sitting there splicing tapes together. And, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was a challenge as well. But, you know, but nowadays, I mean, it's still a challenge, but it's easier to win the battle.
So what motivated you to drop out of the music scene, more or less, and go into production for basically a decade?
Well, I mean, at the end of this pre-Helloween bands, I was a little sick of doing it, I must admit, because we were putting so much energy and heart blood in it, and we were just a little bit ahead of our time. You know, the speed metal stuff we used to play live, nobody was interested in. Everybody wanted to listen to AC/DC or UFO and some stuff like that, right. Which is also great, but it was definitely not what we were playing at the time. And so... And the responses were quite minor, let's put it that way. And that was a little bit tiring for me. You know, I was a young man about this time. I was like 17, 18 years old. And at the time, I had different stuff on my mind, like girls. So I dropped out of the band for a while. And for a couple of years, I was basically doing nothing but, just enjoying myself with girls and stuff like that and doing something completely else. But after a while, I sort of like returned to the music again, but I started working as a sound engineer in some local studios here, and I really liked it. And through the work in the studio, I also came back to do songwriting and create my own music.
Right, because that's the next thing I was going to ask you. What motivated you to get back on this end of the microphone and then also get back together with Kai after so many years removed? Because, you know, by 97, he'd long since departed Helloween, but he was doing Gamma Ray already for nearly a decade.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, what actually brought it on, what actually made me do Iron Savior was that, as I just said, I was working in sound studios for a couple of years. I also was working with, already at that time, I was working with bands like Blind Guardian, stuff like that. And what made me kind of fond of my vocal abilities was I was part of the backing vocal sessions, you know, that were happening with Blind Guardian. And, actually I was thinking of myself, hey, Pete, you're not doing such a bad job here. It's not, you're contributing quite well to the backing vocals. And I realized that my voice is actually also kind of okay if nobody is singing along with me. And also I had a lot of other bands coming in, not Blind Guardian, but smaller, unknown bands. But they had a record deal, and they were like, they were okay, but they weren't outstanding. And I was kind of like thinking to myself, they're not necessarily better than you, but and they do have a record deal, and maybe this is something that you should try at least, so that you don't have to ask yourself, Pete, in 20 years, why didn't you at least try it?
Right.
So I sat down, wrote the first song, Iron Savior, showed it to a couple of friends, and got really great responses for it. And so I decided on writing an entire album. That's how Iron Savior was born.
Now, I know the situation was different over in Europe and Japan, where they really never let go of the metal flame. But obviously during the 90s, we had a huge dropout that to some extent we really haven't recovered from in the States, where everybody just went to grunge and then they started moving out to alternative and weird things like hip-hop and God knows what else. So during that time, what do you think started this sort of return to metal? Because I noticed that even with Europe, you're seeing a lot of big bands that started 97, 98, 99, 2000, and that seems to be the tripping point. We've kind of dropped out between, I'd say, like 89, 90, and 97 or so, and that was just kind of the dead period. So what do you think happened to bring it back?
I agree a little bit. Of course, I agree. But I think it's getting a lot better over there. I mean, I think what really for America quite does the job is the new possibilities of fans to connect through the internet, which wasn't possible at that time, you know. It was just, I remember a lot of getting emails from fans, oh, I'm the only metalhead around here and I'm so lonely, blah, blah, blah. And now all these people since years now, they can kind of like organize themselves, I mean, exchange them with Facebook and stuff like that. And then I think that this really brought the people who are interested in this kind of music together and made them stronger. And that, of course, initialized a rebirth of this kind of music because it was more or less spreading out, you know?
True, because I mean, in the old days, we had the pen pals and the tape trading, which was good in its own way, but it was a lot smaller scale than what you've got now with just basically two clicks of a mouse.
Of course. And also the same stuff also happened over here in Europe, you know. I mean, of course, grunge was kind of like a big thing over here as well, but it was never extincted metal, so to speak, you know.
Right.
There always has been a strong demand for classic metal, you know. Maybe because many of them, the bands you just named, are just based here in Germany, you know. So there was always a consistent fan base over here.
So Kai actually stayed with you doing both vocals and guitars for a good 5 years in Iron Savior before devoting all his energy to Gamma Ray. And it was a period during which he put out 3 albums and an EP, which is a very productive output for such a short span of time.
That's right. I mean, at that time I was young. I had really a lot of time to focus on Iron Savior. And so I was writing songs like crazy. And also after the success of the first album, I really didn't want the people to wait too long. So I came up with this idea to do this in-between album, The Interlude,
right,
and then come back a year later with The Unification, another full studio album. And I think those first 3 albums, I do like them all really much, I must say. The debut and The Unification, of course, better than The Dark Assault.
Right.
I have some issues with The Dark Assault. looking back at this time, I mean, this has been a really motivating time, but also a time with lots of changes, you know. And I think with Condition Red, the 4th full-length studio album, I think the band more or less find its own pace, you know.
So let's talk about another very important aspect of Iron Savior, which is your lyrical focus and general band concept. Because, in fact, several albums were directly devoted to a sort of Rhapsody-style multi-album storyline about a spaceship from Atlantis that winds up hacked by their enemies and turning against its creators, sent out into deep space, during which the world sort of devolved into barbarism, and eventually the one we know today. But damn it, that Iron Savior is coming back from space to complete its original mission. It's all very Charity of the Gods. Were you influenced by Eric Van Doniken or maybe even the Jack Kirby Eternals with this?
Well, I mean, of course, I was influenced by, in general, I mean, at the time when I was young and alone, I had a lot of time to read stuff, and I was basically absorbing anything, you know, anything that was sci-fi. I was either watching it or reading it and just, you know, sucking it up, you know. And so that, of course, is a big basis of where my inspiration is coming from. And I really have to point out, but it's something that you're not familiar with. It's there has been a sci-fi series running here. I mean, I think it's running forever. It started out in the early 60s. I think my father even was reading this kind of stuff. It's called Perry Roden. I don't know if that name does ring any bell with you.
No.
It's a huge story. It starts out in the 60s. And I think at the time now, I think the latest issue, they like in year, whatever, 5,600 something, because this guy is immortal, and it's the biggest space opera I've ever been reading. Not necessarily the best in writing, but they had a lot of great ideas, which gave me a lot of inspiration for the Iron Savior stuff.
Ah, yes. Yeah. See, I was wondering if you had grown up on shows like, you know, In Search Of back in the 70s and 80s, or you were following guys like Isaac Asimov or Arthur C. Clarke, who took some similar ideas, minus the Atlantis component.
Well, I mean, of course, I read a lot of stuff from Arthur C. Clarke, and also what I'm really into is Frank Herbert and also Brian Herbert, together now with Andrew Anderson, continuing on the Dune stuff. I think Dune is really outstanding, awesome. I think for me, it's the Lord of the Rings of sci-fi. It's the best book ever.
It's kind of neat, particularly with this nigh-omnipresent focus on sword and sorcery and fantasy-based material and metal and power metal in particular, to find a band devoted to a pretty hard science fiction concept. That in itself, marks you as kind of unique.
Well, I mean, it was the basic idea I had back in, I think, 97 or 96, actually, when I was writing the album. Besides the music, I wanted to give the band something that would make it more distinguishable from other acts, you know. And also just to bring in another kind of like trademark. And so since this sci-fi thing was not used by anybody else at that time, I thought, hey, Pete, that's a good idea. You like sci-fi and you like metal, so why don't you combine it? But I must point out that the music always has been the more important thing for me.
Right.
This sci-fi story, it's a nice thing. It's a nice goodie, which may make it more interesting, but the focus definitely is always on the music, always has been. Also.
Right. Otherwise, you'd be a writer, not a musician.
Exactly.
but this album doesn't really seem to play into that ongoing tale much. So do you feel that you've, I don't say exhausted, but you think you've kind of closed out the chapter on that long-running storyline? Or can we expect the next album to return to the well, so to speak?
Well, actually, there are four songs who are picking up on the Iron Savior saga. I mean, it's Last Hero from Far Beyond Time, Thunder from the Mountains, and Firestorm. Because this Last Hero, the character of the Last Hero, he is a guy from ancient Atlantis, who's returning now to once again save the world and the universe. But I think it's not enough time to point that out here in all details. I really will find the time soon to write this new story plot and put it on our homepage. So check out our homepage. The new story plot will be there soon.
And I noticed the album is fuller and more well-produced than earlier efforts. So what was going on behind the scenes there?
Well, I mean, we learned a lot from The Landing, because with The Landing, a lot of things production-wise that are not necessarily have been planned out just happened, you know? So to speak, I just had a lucky hand here and there for some stuff, you know. For example, the drum sound turned out really nice. I mean, we were totally happy with the Landing drum sound because it's all natural. I mean, there's no sample on it at all.
Right.
And yet really powerful and distinguished, clear, and just does the job.
Right.
And so on purpose, we went back to the same drum location, used the same drum kit, and just to recall this kind of sound, this sound. Of course, it turned out a little bit different because even though we were using the same kit, same skins, same location. Well, I mean, you cannot just push the recall button. That's
right.
just not happening. And also not wanted. So we did some stuff a little bit different, but we had this great basis coming from the landing where we could now build up the production. So production-wise, from the beginning on, I felt very, very safe and very comfortable with this album. Because I had a lot of weapons already forged for the landing.
Your approach to guitar is also a bit different from what's become something of an established template for the power metal genre. I mean, while you certainly adhere to the sort of speed approach that Kai's been noted for example, I notice you have a very different style, particularly in terms of the solos, which display a lot of 80s-style wah filter along the lines of Randy Rhoads or Art Mako and Bruce Vitale of Obsession. It's not that common these days.
Right, I mean, that's probably because I am a kid of the 80s, you know. This is also where my style is inspired from, you know. You know, even though it's very flattering that you call me a good guitarist, but I don't see myself more as an intermediate soloing player, you know. I do rhythm very well. I mean, I am a real good rhythm guitarist, but I'm just not Eddie Van Halen or just Randy Rhoads. I mean, they're outstanding guitar heroes of all times, you know. But over the years, I found a way that I can at least make it sound as if I am good. You know, I have a couple of licks that kind of work and they kind of sound impressive, you know. But I also have learned that it's better to have a good 80% than trying to have 100%, fucking up and ending up with 30.
Very true. Because, you know, bands now seem to go for a fatter, more overproduced sound on the guitars, but this is more of like an old school, almost hollow sound that brings out the mids and harmonics. So, you know, right there, that marks you as different.
Yeah, I mean, the sound is very important for me, Björn, because this sound you hear on The Landing and also on Rise of the Hero, it's really my absolutely perfect all-time favorite guitar sound. I really appreciate this sound a lot, I must say, because I can do all the shit with it I want to. The guitars are pumping, they're in your face, they have presence, they are there in the mix, and also for soloing it sounds great, so I'm really, really very, very happy with this sound I have here.
So what's next for Iron Savior? You know, any upcoming tour info or anything that you have in the works here?
Well, yeah. I mean, unfortunately, we don't have the time to do extensive touring because not all of the band can make a living on the music. So right. There are regular jobs that, of course, do have priority because they do fill the fridge at home, you know.
I know that is.
And so what we're going to do is just like we did for the past 2 years, we're going to play a couple of shows on weekends, go on festivals, play here and there, play some headlining shows here and there. And that has been working really well for us. So we played like a good 20 or 30 events in a year or so, and it fills the schedule.
So did you want to point the listeners to your website or your Facebook page?
Yeah, our Facebook page is very easy. It's Iron Savior Official. Our internet appearance is, well, iron-savior.com.
Well, with that, Pete, I'd like to thank you for joining me here on Third Eye Cinema, and we hope to have you back again to discuss your next album.
Oh, yeah, would be nice. It was my pleasure talking to you.
All right. So, once again, it was a pleasure, and I do hope to hear from you soon.
Yeah, it's been a nice chat with you. I felt I felt good all the time.
That's a good thing. I try to make everybody feel comfortable.
So did.
All right. So have a good day and, enjoy the weather. Shoes.
Absolutely. Cheers.
Take care.
Take care, man. Cheers.
And to close out our interview with Pete, here's another one off Rise of the Hero. Be sure to turn up the air conditioner because the man's got a burning heart.
is Pete Seelkmeyer and Savior. Next week on Third Eye Cinema, the lovely Diana von Giersberg of Sondria. If you'd like to contact us here, comments, suggestions, or your filmmaker, musician would like to join us on air, email us at thirdeyecinema@hotmail.com, visit our website, thirdeyecinema.wordpress.com, or our Facebook page, facebook.com/thirdeyecinema. Third Eye Cinema brought to you by the Big Papa Online Network on Blog Talk Radio. Or any other Third Eye Cinema broadcast, just visit our website or Facebook page for links to the shows in question. All Blog Talk Radio shows are available for archive listen or download at your convenience. And next week?
Just for practice, how do I say this? Third Eye Cinema. Yeah. Okay. Hello, this is Diana von Giersberger from Xandria and the Clippers, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Nice. Very dramatic, too. I like that sort of Maria Callas approach.
That's what I do.
I know I heard Daughter of Corinth.
Yeah.